Welcome to Smutty Scriptures, the podcast where three best friends gather together to explore the holy text of fantasy romance novels. I'm Head Priest Blue Cromwell, and I am joined by my sisters in sin, Cuttlefish and Purple Space Cat, to tell you all about our thoughts on this episode's sacred text. We are continuing our ACOTAR reread. We are on the third book now, A Court of Wings and Ruin, also known as ACO War. We see what you did there, Sarah J. Maas. And we have read the entire book. So we are continuing our reread journey. And this is really the culmination, I suppose. I know we have A Court of Frost and Starlight to go, and eventually we'll get to A Court of Silver Flames as well, but really this is the bulk of the Feyre and Rhys storyline. A lot of thoughts on this one. How are we feeling this part of the story?
I really like this book. I love the part of the story. There was definitely tears.
Yeah.
But I do. I love this part. I like how big it gets. Mm. You know, like sometimes, like the first Throne of Glass book, it felt so small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the scope was really too tight.
I also really like Feyre kind of becoming a badass.
Mm-hmm.
we love a badass.
Feyre's fully in her badass era in this book, for sure.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the whiny little Feyre anymore, you know? Yeah, I just love all the character progression, and we love us a Surreal, right?
R.I.P. our Aww. Boy. R.I.P. our boy.
Yeah. One of the saddest parts of the whole series.
I remember whenever I got to that part and I was texting you, and it was like really late. And I was like, no, no. And then you were like, ha ha, told ya.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, doesn't it? And I was like,
I just love that Feyre always is trying to find all these little monster and creature friends. And she's like, you are my ally now. And they're like, I am a nature force that has existed for thousands of years. And she's like, okay, slay. And do you want to fight with me or what? Like, do you want to hang out?
I always thought it as like Feyre goes around and like adopts all these lost puppies.
She kind of does, right?
You might know.
In some of the other books, like when she gave the water wraiths like money to pay the tithe, or jewelry essentially, but stuff to pay the tithe with. And it's like, oh, Feyre, you're just out here adopting creatures, bro. And honestly, same. A big same if I was in that environment. But I do love this book. I think the scope of it is, like you said, really interesting. And it does have a lot of setup for like later ACOTAR books, you know, because there are so much, there's so much of the story that we haven't explored. In this book, we get the plot reveal of like Lucien's father not being who we thought it was. And like, we really haven't explored
that.
Yeah. And obviously now we've gone through A Court of Silver Flames, but there's a lot of interesting stuff happening already with Nesta and like her formation of her power and her connection to Amryn. Because that's one thing that I forgot. Like when I read A Court of Silver Flames and the relationship between Nesta and Amryn, I was like, when did y'all even be friends? And I was like, oh, okay, I see it. I'm watching it again. And I'm like, okay, Sarah, you did some groundwork for this. That's on me. And obviously so much lore for Elaine, which hopefully we'll get an ACOTAR book one of these days with her as a focus, because I want to see, well, no pun intended, but what the Seer whole thing is about. You know, I want to know a little bit more about this whole relationship that she has with the world, I guess. It's very interesting. And I have some notes to bring up about that, too. But in general, we love Sarah J. Maas. How dare you kill Rhys like that, though? They really basically start their romance with killing Feyre, and then they kill Rhys. And then, I mean, it's like a couple pages, but like it breaks my heart every time. Every single time.
I'm not even lying. If he hadn't have come back, I don't think that I would have read anything else that Sarah would have written ever at all.
Yeah, it almost makes me get, because at the very end of this book, this is when they do their bond, right? Where Rhys has seen Feyre die, Feyre has seen Rhys die, and they kind of just like, they make that vow to each other to die together. And while that does infuriate me, because they have children and an entire like world, not world, I guess, but like an entire like
Screw
population to rule. And especially with the fact they're going to have a baby like a couple months, it feels like, after this. I think it is actually only a few months difference, like between the end of the war.
Don't do this to me.
Because I remember, we'll have to go through this when we get to Court of Silver Flames, but I think she had been like kind of moping and been in that world and that environment for like 3 months or something only. So it's a very quick change from I vow that when you die, I die, to like a couple months later being like, let's have a baby. Because, girl, it's going to take 75 years for that fucker to, like, be mature. Like, now is not the time to have a death pact. Like, you have to take care of this baby. But whatever. That's besides the point, I guess.
It's fine.
That's Cassian's job. He's got it.
Right. I don't know if I would trust Cassian and Nesta.
Oh, fuck yes, I would.
It would have to be, like, Mor and Amarin. Like, I don't know if I would trust.
No, I think Cassian would be a really good dad.
And I think
dad, yes, in charge of Valeris and like their people and everything in the Court of Nightmares. No,
oh no,
baby.
Oh,
I didn't say that. I said the baby.
Yeah, the baby part I'm okay with. That part I'm totally fine with. Yeah, they can be the guardians of that child. However, the city, can you imagine? Cassian got mad one time and now he's banned from the Summer Court forever for destroying a building. So I don't know if we want that guy like in charge. I mean, I love him, but and I love him as a leader in an army, but I don't know if I really love him as like a political powerhouse, you know? Granted, he gets better, but I love him, but it's definitely different. But do you guys have a favorite part? I know there's so much that happens in these books, but a favorite?
My favorite was whenever Ianthe's hand got squished all the fucking pieces. Because she fucking deserved it.
Yeah, she did.
Trash human person. Just bleh.
Yeah.
I just wish that she hadn't healed it.
While I am with you, and I loved the part where she got her justice moment.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think hands down, my favorite part was when the dad showed up with
the ships.
With the
Listen.
Oh my God.
We're talking about my family issues. Leave it alone.
I was crying. I don't think I've recovered from that one. I really don't. Same with right after Rhys died.
Mm-hmm.
Those two were so emotional. Mm-hmm. That and this, there was just so many pieces.
We're just emotionally squishy.
For this book, 100%.
This Sarah's just like, hold my beer.
Mm-hmm.
The one that made me like it's a good hurt, mm-hmm, is the ships.
The ships, like that whole redemption arc of like the, mm-hmm, the father of them all. Even just, oh, dude, I can feel it in my bones. Like the moment where Nesta's screaming to Cassian and that's like why he lives. And like, cause I've heard the TikTok audio and like the dramatic, like retelling and just like Cassian and like the fucking like voice breaking and just, oh, like, I would love an ACOTAR TV show one day. That moment would hit.
Yeah.
Like, especially for a character like Nesta, this is where you start to see, like, I guess, like, her potential for, like, how she cares about people.
Right.
And that's something you finally start to get. Okay. First of all, you're going to reread A Court of Silver Flames in, like, a minute and then be like, you know what?
Leave me alone.
I'm just saying, you're going to be that guy. Like, there's no way. But that was a beautiful moment. I agree. Ianthe's fucking hand getting smashed is incredible. I actually really like how much we get to see with Lucien. Like, I'm very curious about Lucien as a character. And all there's so much plot in this book related to him and, like, that hasn't played out yet. And I'm like, come on. Like, go ahead. However, my least favorite, my honestly, this book has one of the worst scenes ever for me in ACOTAR. One of two. My first least favorite scene of all time is when Feyre is sneaking around the Spring Court and she doesn't realize that all the staff are glamored. And so she's like acting around like an idiot. And my second one is Rhys and Feyre getting it on to the, and there's like sounds of war and like dying people around them. Why? Like, Sarah,
yay!
I get it. And there is smut in this book. There are sex scenes in this book. And like, they're very full of love and like, you know, they're in the bath together. They're playing around with Feyre's wings and all this sex. I'm like, okay, like, I get it. Like, and I love it. I love a good smut moment. Though these are not, like, the smuttiest of all, but whatever. Like, they've got their moments. I did not need that. Did not need that to be the moment.
Come on. Where you needed it.
No. Like, the sounds of, like, the dying in the background or, like, whatever. Like, even if you shield for that, like, it's just like, huh. Like, can you find a time and a place that's not here? But it's fine. It's fine. It's just definitely one of my two, like, those are my top two worst moments in the ACOTAR series for me that I just, like, kind of cringe out of my bones, and I can't do it.
I genuinely hated the fact that the cereal died. One. Mm-hmm. Two, yeah. I genuinely hated all of the, how do you say?
Bullshit.
Yes, the bullshit that Tamlin spewed at the
High Lord meeting.
Mm-hmm. Meeting?
No.
I don't know. I kind of loved it. I felt like it was very.
No.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the trashy teenager so talk.
Fucked up, man.
Okay, but like, imagine it's not the High Lord Council and then it's like trash TV.
Yeah, I mean,
then it's amazing.
No, okay. So my thought has always been and still is that Tamlin deserves a like redemption arc.
Sure.
When Tamlin starts to make dumb decisions like talk like that, it's very almost reminiscent of like modern day posting of your ex on a bloody website. Kind of deal.
Oh, like revenge, you know, porn saying? Kind of vibe is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. It does. And I can't fuck with that.
Yeah. It's more just rude than it is like bad. Like there are things that I have tagged here that in like this book's particular that are like, Tamlin, you have got to stop being who you are. That's more of like, that feels
you
like
existing.
That feels like what Bryce would describe as that like alpha hole fucking personality.
Yeah.
Like Faye, like, oh, do you know the sound that she makes right before she comes, whatever, blah, blah. However, though, I will raise you to that scene. It did have that. I mean, I'm an Azrael girly. So the minute he's like, oh, be careful how you speak of my high lady. Ooh, slay.
Well, of course, there was that. I don't think anybody hated that part. But I really hated reading that. I also really hated that. I'm really mad that the bone carver and the witch died.
Yeah.
Weaver, yeah. I'm mad.
Yeah.
I wanted our fun friends.
Listen, Farrah will find more. Farrah is guaranteed to find more creature friends. She loves it. She adopts all the local folk.
I mean, Nesta tries in the next book.
She kind of gives Aelin in that vibe, right? Like the whole, like how she's like, you know, queen of like all the little peoples in the forest, the little fairies and all that little stuff. I almost wonder.
I wouldn't call the bone carver a little fairy.
Sure. Well, he becomes something mortal at the end of it, I guess.
But yeah, I think all of those things were pretty. It's just this book is so full of not only events, but important events for a lot of different plot lines, including the main one.
Sure.
So it's hard to pick just like one thing that I don't like when there's so many things that I don't like.
Yeah, except for the fact Rhys and Farrah be fucking on the battlefield. Don't do that.
Yeah. Can you imagine if they're like on the battlefield and then like they're in somebody's guts and blood and then okay, like they move a little bit. And
I mean,
like, oh, that's a finger.
I mean, he was in those guts for sure. For
it's not your finger.
Oh my God. No.
Excuse me, sir, to you, Mike. Oh, you're dead. Never mind.
Jeez. Yeah, it's just a little too much. I get like they're not really being a lot to pinpoint, even as far as like a least favorite. Like that obviously does like it makes me cringe, but there are so many like good moments in this.
I don't know if you're ready for this.
Oh.
My least favorite thing at all in this entire book, the one thing that I wish would just be deleted from everything existing is whenever Tamlin saves Farrah
from the Naga.
From the I hate it. I hate it so much because he's a little shit and he doesn't.
You don't want to like
what?
Because that's the kind of crap that you guys come up with. Like he deserves a redemption. No, he fucking does.
He helped Rhys come back to life. He literally said, "Be happy, Farrah." He gave up. He doesn't want her to fucking be with him. But he said, "Be happy." He let her go officially in that moment. Like, bro, please. It's not.
Nope.
We will get a Tamlin redemption arc.
Do you know?
I will hate every second of it.
That's fine, but you're getting it.
I don't like it.
Do you know, I read somewhere or saw on TikTok, I don't remember, something, that someone had thought and brought receipts that Lucien is not Elaine's mate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But neither is Azrael.
It's Tamlin.
it's Tamlin.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I actually have cited evidence in the text.
Well, but do you?
But wait, they have a bond, though.
Hear me out. I think, okay, this is something I've mentioned before. I'm not saying this is necessarily how it will be. I think there's a lot of situations where some things could switch up for sure. But I was thinking, because of the connection between Rhys's power and Maeve's power, again, I'm not necessarily saying this. I think that Rhys understands that Lucien's a very interesting card to play and to have him in his pocket. I would not be against, we know Maeve had the ability to essentially falsify mating bonds. She did that with Rowan, and she did that, I don't know if she did that with Aelin. I know Rowan,
oh,
yes.
Oh, poor Rowan.
Yeah, she falsified Miss that, like, Rowan. Mating bond. And they have the same powers, Rhys and Maeve. And I'm like, it could be really interesting if he wanted to solidify some alliance. I just think it'd be interesting. Not necessarily that
he would have had to have thought about that while they were in the King of Hybern's little trap.
Yeah. But I also think, I don't know, there's a lot of theories. Hear me out, though, at least as far as the Tamlin and Elaine thing. One thing that I tagged, because I thought this was really interesting, this is when Lucien and Elaine are talking. This is, I believe, right after they got a healer to look at Elaine, and they were like, I don't know, the bitch traumatized or something. Body fine, mind, nah. Go ahead and get her mate in here, because they know each other's souls or whatever. So they try to get Lucien and Elaine talking. And she's kind of getting to this point where she's talking. She says, this is page 252 in the holy text. And it says, I sleep, she murmured, I can hear your heart beating through the stone. She angled her head as if the city view held some answer. Can you hear mine? He wasn't sure if she truly meant to address him, but he said, no, lady, I cannot. When I read heart beating through the stone, doesn't that remind you of someone who does have a stone heart?
Oh, yeah, of course it does.
Does that remind you of maybe someone we've seen before's heart? I thought that
I don't like it.
Interesting.
No.
So apparently when Sarah J. Maas made a Pinterest board of all the character inspirations, we know that she got a lot of the character inspirations from Welsh mythology and from other Celtic places. And she had tagged or like posted one of their goddesses of spring. I'm not going to try to butcher the name, but it would be for Elaine. And apparently the story in the lore of Welsh mythology or whatever that goddess also goes through is that there is a person that feels entitled to them, but they meet someone that they fall in love and they start sneaking off together. And the idea of her story is that love is not to be forced, but chosen. And I'm not mistaken, their mom also had said that Elaine would marry for love.
Mm-hmm.
That Elaine would choose. Mm-hmm. Elaine, to my knowledge, hasn't met officially, like alone, Tamlin. Like they've been in the room, but they haven't interacted. So it kind of feels like Asriel had a sentence in that story that was like in the book we haven't read yet, where he kind of, in my eyes, felt like, well, obviously Elaine is mine because you guys have two of the three sisters, so it only makes sense that I would have the third.
Mm-hmm.
I love Asriel, but that's a little entitled.
Oh, yeah. That's a very odd thing to say. Now, the only thing that I have as a small caveat to that, not to defend Asriel, but just because of the Sarah J. Maas Massiverse kind of vibe, three does occur a lot. The number three, the three-faced goddess, the three circles on Bryce's pendant, there's a strong energy around the number three that it almost makes me feel like, oh, that's interesting, but I'm an Asriel and Gwen type of girly. I always will be. But I do hope that that's explored, because we keep getting all this like knowledge on Sarah J. Maas is like always like mating bonds can be bad. Mating bonds could be rejected. Like all these things can happen. And I'm like, explore it. But at the same time, I really don't want that, because at the same time, like, I really love Lucien. And he's been through so much. He watches his the love, yeah. what he thinks you is want the him love to be of happy. His life. Yeah. Like, he is, the few times that Feyre goes into his mind and it's sad and it's like this horrible, gloomy, like I want him to be happy. He dealt with Tamlin's abuse. He's watched the love of his life get killed in front of him for his fucking brothers, and he could do nothing about it. He watched, like, he has all these regrets with his relationship with Feyre. He's like, you're a better friend to me than I ever was to you. Like, he has all these fucking regrets. He has all these horrible memories. We see him, like, I mean, all the things with the Calanmai and Lucien and Iantha, that's obviously very fucked up and not consensual. So we see Lucien go through sexual trauma, and then we see Feyre prevent future sexual trauma. But, like, Lucien is an abused fucking male. From the beginning of his life to now, he has had, like, nothing good. So part of me wants so, so, so desperately for him and Elaine to be together, because I want Lucien to be fucking happy for once. What I would almost like, and I don't necessarily know if I want this, though you might be happy with this, Purple, but a lot of people have theorized that a lot of people think something's going to happen to Tamlin, that he's going to have his redemption arc and, like, sacrifice himself in some way. And then Lucien and Elaine will, like, get, like, the Spring Court and, like, handle that. So she's with her element. She had her flowers on the drawer that Feyre painted for her, all that stuff. So that's what some people say.
Yeah, well, the only thing I have to say about that is that, remember, he is also Helion's son.
Yeah.
So if they were all in charge of the Spring Court, and then he also became in charge of Helion's court, that'd be a problem.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it also be funny if he then simultaneously became the strongest of the brothers for the Autumn Court, too?
I think that'll be Aerys. I really do see Aerys taking that role.
Yeah.
But who knows? Because there's so much energy around Elaine and, like, Azriel, and, like, she has the truth teller. She stabs the King of Hybern with it. She does this. She looks at his scars and she says they're beautiful. There are these, like, wonderful little moments, but then every time she's in night clothing, like night court clothing, it's like she's described as, like, drab and, like, dead and, like devoid of life and, like, all these things. And I'm like, dude, I don't know.
Yeah, it's because her personality is gardening.
That's all she has. She's every Sarah J. Maas woman is allowed one hobby. Feyre can paint. Nesta can dance. Elaine can garden. Moore is gay.
Well, Nesta has two. She can dance and be a bitch.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a talent. That is a real talent.
It is. It's
the
an
way that
art
she
form.
Does it. It's a fucking art form for sure. Gosh, what a crazy moment.
There's some other places. Like, you saw that Rhys in the first book when Feyre was dying. That it says that he launched himself at Amarantha, swift as a shadow, the ash dagger aimed at her throat. She lifted a hand, not even bothering to look, and he was blasted back by a wall of white light. Right? That's what it says. And we now know that Rhys and Feyre, when she was in trouble, he went to protect her. White light. Elaine is in trouble in the cauldron doing the thing. Tamlin launches himself at the throne as if he'd rip him to shreds. That hot white magic slammed into him, shoving him to the ground, leashing him. Also, the Book of Breathings has a passage where it says, "Hello, fanged beast and trembling fawn." And the Suriel called Elaine a trembling fawn.
But all the High Lords have a beast form, and if Lucien becomes the High Lord of whatever, Spring or Dawn,
he's a deer.
That could still work. He's dear to me. I don't know, dude. I want Tamlin to have a redemption arc. I want him to be happy, but at the same time, like, my boy, Lucien. I don't know. People always say Vasa will be, like, something for him, but I don't know. But also, like, the interesting thing is these can always change, right? Because the original plan for Nesta was Lucien. That would never work.
They would tear each other
to
pieces.
Sarah probably tried to write a scene and was like, okay, now kiss. And they were like, no. And she was like, fuck. All right, so the fire on the fucking drawer, that's fucking... Cassian, he's fiery. Yeah. So who fucking knows? Sarah will tell us in time, though, but I just, I want something. Right now, though, I'm just exploring a lot in this book, like, things that surprise me as far as, like, connections to other stuff. Because that's what we wanted to do with the whole reread is, like, get to this point where we're, now that we've read all of Throne of Glass, we've read at least one of the Crescent City books. We haven't read two or three yet, though hopefully this summer we'll be able to get some episodes out with that. I actually did pin a section here that I wanted to talk about with you guys that I briefly mentioned before the podcast. 233.
Yes, your priestliness.
233 in the holy text. I mentioned this before where I think this is going. And there's a couple of moments in this chapter, but this is when Feyre and Cassian are on their way to the prison because they're wanting to speak to the bone carver. And they are essentially walking into the prison now. And Feyre is, she says, I grappled onto a large gray rock as I climbed over it. And she asks, the bone carver was an old god? To which Cassian said, he dragged a hand through his hair, the siphon gleaming in the watery light. That's what legend says, along with whispers of being able to fell hundreds of soldiers with one breath. Because that's the whole reason and that they're wanting to go through.
And yet, he didn't win them the fucking war.
He became Illyrian. He became mortal. He became killable. But he died a hero. So honestly, Slay. But I was making some connections to Throne of Glass with that. And his connection, the old god, the whole bone thing. This dude has to be the Sin Eater, right? The god of truth? And he knows fucking everything. And his brothers, like the cereal. I don't know how the Weaver plays into it. Because in this scene, too, when they're talking, what's interesting is the bone carver is actually carving into the ground the circles that are Bryce's protective charm in Crescent City. So again, another time we're seeing the three as a connection. All of them could have been old gods, or those that god could have been separated into three. I don't know how that looks like. But the connection between truth and God and his connection to the Sin Eater and like just bones in general, oh my God. I'm like, Sarah, I'm piecing it together. I'm reading. Yeah. I'm putting the math together.
Because didn't they find out that with the other god guy, they had to write down their most deepest, darkest secrets or something on the bones and like leave it at his altar or whatever in that super duper creepy place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was still really cool. I wish we got more closure on that. I love how the entire story, she's like, we're going to go into this and then let's forget about it. No big deal. Nobody worries. All fine. It's totally fine.
There has to be a
sorry. What?
It will be brought up later. I can like feel it in my bones. No pun intended.
Ha.
But I can feel it in my bones, dude. I really can. That is going to come back in some way. Just with understanding like where we are at with Crescent City. Like as soon as he started carving that symbol into the ground, I was like, oh my god. Like okay, that's correlated to Crescent City right there.
It just makes me think: is the ground made of bone?
I guess not in his little stone, cell, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't know. His little entryway was made of bone. And I think it's a little odd that he said that he had carved all of the entrances to the other people's cells. Mm-hmm. Like, don't what? They just, was... like, let you out for creation?
Well, yeah, I don't think he was ever... purposes. I don't think he was ever really locked in there.
I think he was hiding.
Hiding from what?
You think he was just, like,
he mentions
super introversion type.
No, I think he mentions that like he likes being forgotten and that his brother and sister are death gods. And like, we're not really sure what that means. We know Nesta has some interesting implications with the whole like power of death and like everything along that.
Wait, who's his brother again?
Well, his brother is the guy that's holding Vasa captive and like keeping her as a bird sometimes.
Okay, so the guy we haven't met yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's bound to a lake and stuff, which is interesting.
Yeah, and he keeps the bird brain lady.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they talk about, like, in that, so this is chapter 23. This is still the conversation with the carver and Cassian and Feyre. And this is specifically where he's drawing those three overlapping interlocked circles in the dirt. That's page 239. Let's see here. He says, how those ancient fae feared and worshipped them. Had I been braver, I might have bided my time, waited for their powers to fade, for that long-ago fae warrior to trick her into diminishing her power and becoming confined to the middle. And they wait, because it says Cassie and I waited, not daring to interrupt. He goes, clever, that fae warrior. Her bloodline is long gone now, though a trace still runs through some human line. Very interesting. No one remembers her name,
queen.
But I do. And she would have been my salvation had I not made my choice long before she walked this earth.
We're talking about the Weaver, right?
This is about an ancient Fae warrior. Part of me is I know a lot about ancient Fae warriors, like Aelin. An ancient Fae warrior who would rescue those who needed help and, like, protect people. I almost think... And one that had, like, multiple children and, like, this all this bloodline and, like, how we always have this implication with Feyre and, like, does she have that in her bloodline and the name Feyre? I think there's some connection there. It could be cool to explore if they were somehow connected in that way. It could be completely wrong. It could be some other Fae warrior. But they do certainly talk about it. But yeah, he says, the Carver's eyes burn like the hottest flame to hide from my siblings. So... he is specifically hiding in the prison to avoid them, I guess I should say.
Well, I mean, all he really had to do would just not go say hi.
Not go say hi. Yeah, like, there has to be some beef.
Weaver just kind of hangs out in the middle. And then you got his brother who's bound by a lake, mm-hmm. like on a completely different continent. So if he just maybe didn't take vacations at either place, like he'd be fine.
I think that would sense him out and about. I think there's something to be said about the prison. And because later on, obviously, Nesta goes in there and she discovers a little bit more about the prison and like its energies and whatnot. There's got to be some element of it hiding or obscuring power in some way. Or when she finds like artifacts there and stuff like that.
So you think the Weaver would theoretically just leave all her crap behind and be like, it's time to go visit my dear brother?
I wonder if. In my head, if the Sin Eater in some way, I don't know if it became like he became three separate gods that like maybe entering this universe, he was separated. And that's why we have the Bone Carver related to the bone part of his like, you know, messaging. We have the Truth. Like maybe that's like tied to one of the others. I don't know. It's just very interesting implications. Like maybe there's a world where like, hey, you have a part of my power, kind of like how the High Lords are with Feyre. Where Feyre's like has a crumb of everyone's little power and they probably would want it back. You know what I mean? Maybe not anymore.
Rude.
But that was like a big fear for her the whole time. It could be something between all the, you know, random monsters and creatures that we find along the way, you know?
Well, doesn't Rhys also have a crumb of their powers though?
Interesting, maybe.
And how about that power dynamic between the Night Court and all the other courts, like hundreds of years from now.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like. That's going to be very interesting to play out. Like, is Valeris going to start trading with people? Are they going to be like, can I go on to Valeris on vacation? Can I move in?
Please.
Please, 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 bro. Honestly. We'll see. It's interesting. Just a lot of connections to explore, at least. The only other thing that I really found that I wanted to talk about that surprised me, and this is, you'll probably be happy about this, Purple. I kind of forgot about this.
No.
I forgot about this part. This is actually pretty early. It's actually on page like 57. And this is when Feyre is back in the Spring Court, and this is where she starts her spying and all that fun stuff. And she asks, how bad was it? Like, you know, implying like, how bad was it when I left? And I forgot about this. And I was like, holy shit. But Lucien says, you saw your room. He trashed it. The study, his bedroom. He killed the sentries who'd been on guard. After he got the last bit of information from him, he executed them in front of everyone in the manor.
Nice.
And she goes, you didn't stop
him. Retribution.
And Lucien says, I tried. I begged him for mercy. He didn't listen. He couldn't listen. And it's just kind of insane. Like, that is one thing that I kind of... kind of forgot about. I was like, holy shit. I mean, I'm still always be Tamlin redemption arc person, because those sentries didn't try to stop him either. They were like, I don't know, almost like protecting him from his own trauma in that way, I guess, by letting him be the High Lord he was always gonna be, I suppose. But he needs some serious fucking help, bro. Needs some serious fucking help. It's even mentioned on page 40.
He needed serious fucking help.
Yeah, pity that not only Lucien had lied to him, but Alice as well. How many others had seen the truth of my suffering, this is Feyre talking, and tried to spare him from it? Damn! That hit. That hit.
Yeah.
I was, ooh, that hurt.
There's so many things I could say, but that doesn't belong in this podcast.
Goofy. Well, I'm sure it's not the last we'll see of him by any means, but I would say for me, like, a favorite character this session has been, it honestly has been Lucien. I like the bond. I was always like, when I read ACOTAR for the first time, I was like, girl, Feyre, why are you so obsessed with like Tamlin? Like Lucien's right there. He's hot. He says, if I said I pull the moon down for you, could I get a kiss as well? Like, stop being flirty, bro. Like, I loved him. I loved him for the fucking jump. I honestly, at this point, don't even care who he's with. I just want the flirty banter and the, oh, Autumn Court males fuck like there's fire in their blood. Okay, so write it down, Sarah. Write it down. Write it down. I'm going to read it.
Have an example.
Write that down. Yeah. If it's Elaine, fine. If she needs to be subjected to that fire to cleanse her sins, good. Slay.
But wouldn't her flowers, like, be burned?
Maybe it would burn away the darkness from her.
Ew.
And be very purifying. Or maybe he's meant to date
Let
the Phoenix
Let me fix you
lady.
With my dick.
Is that not mating bonds, really? Like, if we're being honest. That's kind of been how they've always played out. Well, maybe except for Cassian. Cassian's who's like, you were never broken. You know, I mean, that's one example, I guess. What about you guys?
My favorite character has got to be Braxis.
Braxis, huh? You miss him. You want him to come back home?
Yes, I do. I have never felt so connected to a character in this book than I did whenever I was reading and, well, listening to Braxis. And it was all like, I'm lonely. Can I see the sun, please?
I just want a little window. Like,
that's a whole mood. Mm-hmm. Like, can you maybe talk to me? But like, not too much. Just like a little.
Yeah, he said, give me a companion to talk to about life. And a little window in my library home. Is that not what we all want?
I want a library home. Yeah. You know, I'll take one without windows. That's fine.
I need a little window. I need a little guy.
If I could just have the world leave me alone when I live in a library.
Did you like Braxis more than the cereal?
Yes.
Really?
You shut up. There's no way.
Hot take. Hot take.
The cereal is our original bestie.
I know.
And I
do.
Replaced. He's a dreamer.
I know. I just feel like Braxis is like a really sad and lonely golden retriever energy person.
Interesting.
And I love.
I do want to see his conversations. I almost hope, I kind of want to see Elaine talking to him for some reason. Like
they
when he needs a
besties.
Companion. Yeah, to talk about life. Elaine has a lot of weird cryptic shit to say. It'd probably be very entertaining.
He does.
So let's get somebody in there to chat. What about you, Cuddle?
My favorite character.
It's me.
I don't know. I think it's, I just.
There's too many.
Yeah, kind of. I can, it's easier to say like in the inner circle who I'm not super attached to yet. And that is Cassian and Azriel. At this point, like I know what happens, but I don't really feel like the connection for Cassian comes into play until the last book. And the same kind of for Azriel, but I also know that that's going to strengthen for the last book that comes into play. So this one, I think, is also like we're kind of developing the feelings for more and that whole situation. So like, it's kind of a growth of who I already loved before, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But I don't want to be like that guy and just be like, it's Feyre. But I mean, it kind of is.
I mean, she's the star. Yeah. This is her Feyre will bring vengeance era. And she fucking did. She took down a whole fucking court for no reason.
Court.
Well, not no reason.
I think just because.
She fucking took that shit down.
My absolute least favorite character in the whole series is Ianthe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cannot stand her.
Good that she's gone. She had to go.
Yes.
But yeah, I think my favorite's going to have to be Feyre.
That's totally fair. Feyre is a great choice.
Such a basic bitch answer.
That's
oh my god, go drink your pumpkin spice.
There's nothing wrong with liking Feyre, especially at this point in the book when we see the culmination of like what her journey has come to and how powerful she's become and like how she has really like clocked her shit. Like I love in this book when Amarin calls her out because Feyre's like, I can't involve Elaine and Nesta in this, and Amarin's like, oh, you sound just like Tamlin. And Feyre said, oh, and then immediately saw it and clocked herself. And she was like, you're right, but I'm not going to force them. I'm just going to ask them and give them a choice, like everything like that. Like you see Feyre like mature a lot. And really get that like found family that she was looking for, which is so beautiful.
If only actual humans would, you know, check their behavior like that.
Yeah, she really said, damn, you right. Which is crazy. Love her for that. But that's fair. I think as a favorite character, that's a really good one. I did fall in love with, like, I guess Feyre and Lucien's like dynamic this whole time, and like their journey together and they're traveling together and this like cautious alliance and like, are we friends? Are we not? Like that whole dichotomy between them is really interesting. Least favorite though is probably right. Iantha fucking sucks. Iantha, whatever. Hater.
He just needs to
hot
burn.
Trash. Always has been, always will be. The King of Hibern also fucking sucks for obvious reasons as well.
Yeah. Although I really feel like they could have gone really like Hibern daddy if they really wanted to, but they didn't.
Daddy.
They could. I would have probably liked a little, you know, flirtation.
Like the assassin daddy.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, they didn't even play around with that enough in Throne of Glass, I think.
It's funny you mention Assassin Daddy and connecting the books like that, because whenever we're going through the war stuff and they're at the camps, the only thing that I was thinking of was, when is Lysandra going to come in and get cast out the cold? Because I need to feel really angry.
Mm-hmm. You know, right,
she's not in this book. Never mind.
I'm glad that you brought her up, because
I love her.
I was actually first of all, I saw art of her and it was like her with cats and oh my God, it was gorgeous. Second of all, you know, there are definitely thoughts that her and Adian's bloodline connects to Tamlin's bloodline.
No.
Oh, the shapeshifter thing.
I hate it. No.
Oh.
No.
That's interesting.
No. Don't.
So.
And he is like blonde and doesn't. Yeah. Adian has those blue and gold eyes, mm-hmm. I guess, but still.
So it's.
Lysandra had green.
Tamlin's last name very well may be Ashriver.
Fuck all of you. I'm done. No more podcast. Thanks for listening to the last ever.
Man, that's crazy.
Now I want to burn the books.
Well, there's a less unhinged thought that I had as well, going back a little bit to where we were a little bit ago. And that is that, you know, we were talking about the Bone Carver and how he might be the god of truth and stuff from Throne of Glass. What if the Weaver, because mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out like who she would have been, and I can't figure out Koshi, so I don't fucking know. But
the Weaver, of Michaels.
No, okay. But what if she was one of the spidery Valg princesses?
Gross. I love it.
Yeah.
How did she kill people again at the war? I just kind of glossed over that. Did she eat them? Does she have powers? I don't remember.
Well, she's likened to a spider whenever Feyre breaks into the cottage.
She really is, yeah. And the whole weaving thing and like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole web thing. Yeah.
And I the Valg princesses were all like, me, me, me.
Ew.
Spiders.
Ew, ew, ew. Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Could be a thing.
Yeah.
Huh. Just throwing that out there. Because I was really trying to figure out the three of them. Like, okay, so the Bone Carver makes perfect sense. Who the fuck would the other ones be?
You know,
and why would they be related?
That would be interesting.
Maybe it's like
too.
A brother from another mother.
Okay. I was thinking, you know, because the Weaver obviously ends up joining the war front eventually and this like happy, oh, Feyre, you brought me a little treat. And she fucking gets Iantha and fucking the Hibern soldiers and yum, 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 yum. But almost what would be interesting, because the first time we see Feyre and the Weaver interact is their mating bond is not in place, right? Like Rhys is like, hey, go ahead and go in there and grab something for me. And it's like this test. It's like this thing, right? And the Weaver reacts to Feyre and obviously she runs out and all this fun stuff. Later on, because we know, again, Rhys has a lot of similarities feature-wise and magic-wise to the Valg and, like, that whole connection. And Feyre, and, like, you can feel that connection through her. You can smell that bond on Feyre.
Yeah,
which is totally an interesting concept. But the Weaver obviously is friends with him later. Do you think that could, like, tie into it? Like, the fact that those spider, like, princes, like, they're basically serving the Valg or working with them, right? And having that connection there could be an interesting play. I mean, I know the Weaver's gone now, but maybe why she was more quick to forgive Feyre.
Are you suggesting Reese is Valg?
His power suggests it, and his look suggests it. I'm not saying he has to be Valg himself, but if it was like in his bloodline, that would make a lot of sense.
It might make sense if he was the product of a witch and a fae.
What if he's related to Manon?
Mm-hmm. Reese's last name is Havaliard, confirmed.
Holy shit.
That's what I like to think, yeah.
But Dorian... So wouldn't be Dorian.
Well, Dorian becomes something else when he is like infested with the Valg Prince, right? And he gets new powers and he gets all this new things afterwards. So he changes.
But he's still human.
Well, witches are also part Valg too.
And part Fae.
That's a good point.
So.
But Reese is very Fae.
Yeah, but he. Those powers are real Valg-like. Even the crown that he sometimes references is very. Like that all black crown and like the design of it and stuff. It's very Valg-like. I don't think Feyre will go an evil route with him because it's based on her husband. So like if they are, I don't know. Maybe Feyre's up for a divorce, but.
All right. Don't get a divorce.
Stay together. Get in couples therapy if you need to.
Mr. Boss. Take the team.
But, you know, with the connection, it's just there's too many similarities for me to ignore, basically. So it's something
you're just
about.
Not trying hard enough.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
Hard enough. You can ignore so many things. Just look at Tamlin and all those red flags.
Oh my God. He'll be okay eventually.
What red flags? I don't see anything.
He'll be okay eventually. Ugh, remember when Lucien fucking saw Feyre's melted ass ring and just threw it away so Tamlin wouldn't see it? Ugh. That hurt. That like hurt my soul for all of them. Hate it.
I cannot believe that Lucien didn't clue into how like close Feyre was getting and like kind of making it sort of seem like there was something going on to fuck with Tamlin.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
she really
that
said,
Lucy didn't catch on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the himbo in him.
That's the mated male in him, I think, almost. I think maybe he'd be more like, because he did have this flirtatious banter with her at first, but then when they're back in the spring court, he's like, I love Elaine. How do I get to Elaine? Is Elaine okay? Is she safe? Is she safe in the night court? Do I have to go right now? Do I have to go save her right now? Like, he's like obsessed. So I almost wonder if that made him a little blind. Like, she exploited that a little bit. Because he knows if he pisses off Feyre, he ain't going to see his mate ever again. So yeah, he's like, why are you here right now? Why are you being this way? And then he like sees that, but I don't know. It's interesting. I would like to see a conversation. I would like to see in-depth conversations between Feyre and Lucien and also Feyre and Nesta, who have a lot of shit they need to work out.
Oh, for sure.
I just wish any of them would sit down and have a goddamn conversation.
Nope. Maybe one day.
We don't do that. Communication.
Who does that?
No.
Absolutely not.
We just need to demolish miscommunication or lack of communication as a trope.
I'm sorry. It is. It is
I hate it so much.
Go ahead and wait a couple more books and we'll see if it happens. Yeah. Did you say your least, Purple?
My least favorite character?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about besides Tamlin and how
it
he's
could just
breathing.
Be Tamlin. I
just don't want him to breathe anymore.
Wow.
I just hate him so much.
Maybe he'll get stone lungs as well as a stone heart.
Yeah. I mean, I could think of a lot of other ways that we could make it quick.
Make it quick. Oh my God.
But I just hate him. I am full scorched earth retribution. Absolutely not.
That's fine, because I think Sarah's really good at like putting someone in a position like that where you fucking hate them and then something happens and you're like, no, the context, the communication, no, like you immediately like you make a switch. You hated Lysandra at first. You hated her.
You hated her guts.
And she's your favorite.
Don't talk to me about her.
She's your favorite. You hated her fucking guts. And I said the same thing. I said, you are going to, I don't know. This is going to turn around. I don't know if I trust that she's not a good character yet. And you're like, no, scorched earth, this. By the end of Throne of Glass, you were like, give me a book about her. Love her. She deserves better. I'm just saying. Give Sarah time to cook because she got something going. We'll see. But what about...
I just, hate him so much.
I know. I know.
Do you know what? What? The worlds are on top of each other, right?
That's my understanding.
She fell through. So, wasn't it Caltaine who had said, was it Caltaine? Somebody had said that when they died, that there's other people there with them. They couldn't tell anybody what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if they fall through the worlds, or if they go through it in between, like where Aelin was, and then they go to the other world?
So you mean like a really weird reincarnation?
Yeah.
Hmm. What brings you to that? Is like a certain character, you mean?
Well, how else would like the bone carver be in multiple planes of being?
Well, remember how back in Throne of Glass, they're all like, the gods left. They abandoned us. Remember? Remember?
Mm-hmm, yeah. The old gods, yeah.
So some of them were still there, but they actually weren't gods. But they don't really specify which ones are which. I think that maybe some of them did like peace out, like the bone carver, who would be the carvy, bony...
Sin eater guy?
The secret dude. And then the rest of them were just like, meh, I think I'll just go, like, take a vacation.
We did pretty much super confirm that Amryn at one point was, like, an Asteri, right?
I think that's, yeah.
And didn't she talk about a maker?
Uh-huh.
So if the Asteri had some kind of portal, Amryn walked through it, portal closed. Uh-huh. Same thing happened when they went to Crescent City's plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have the witches that are going back and forth potentially and teleporting. It kind of... What about... I guess we'd have to find someone who had died to confirm that theory in one of the other books.
You know, I feel like we could make that work with Tamlin really easily.
Oh my god.
Well, but then that would make sense if Tamlin was the descendant of two people from a different... Or even if... What was the other one that I had said? Rhys's mother or sister was alive and had been in the thing in... What's his name? In Crescent City. Rune Dannon was related to Rhys. Was like his nephew or something.
Yeah. It's interesting because... It's almost like, well, and time gets funky, so I don't know how Sarah is really going to, like, make all that shit look as far as a multiverse is concerned.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yeah, basically. Like, you have, like, the past, but also, like, time is all happening at the same time. So maybe they're all the same world, but those three universes are existing in their own, like, timeline, essentially. And that's where you're getting, like, could Feyre have some, like, ancient fae lineage, and could it be someone from like a Throne of Glass universe? Maybe could it be, you know, could Tamlin have that type of blood in him, but then also the events of Throne of Glass be happening at the same time, because their universes, even if they exist on the same timeline, we're watching a movie at like three different parts is how I would describe it. All time happening at once, neither past nor forward, just all happening.
Really gonna need a detailed timeline.
I bet when we read the next two Crescent City books, we're going to learn a lot. I've been liking the ACOTAR reread and like going through and noticing all these things about the other books and
trying to put them together.
But I think Crescent City is like where those themes are going to come out the most. So we got to get on that eventually here.
Agreed.
So one of these
days. That's a summer project.
Yeah. What about any favorite couples? I mean, Feyre and Rhys are an obvious standout this section.
Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lysandra.
Right. Well,
really loving busy. Elaine and Tamlin.
No.
Love the raging beast and the trembling fawn. Slay.
I hate you all.
Listen, you have to get ready for this. We're trying to help you.
I resist.
Goofy.
I resent it.
How funny would it be if, because everybody's been talking about how Elaine is going to end up with one of these three dudes. How funny would it be if
ends up with more?
Sarah ends up like, well, you know, you guys thought it was going to go this way, so I'm specifically not going to write it that way. And she ends up being with more.
See, I want more and Emery to be together. The way that like she looks at her is just like, oh, it hits every time for me. When you couldn't find an Illyrian bat boy for yourself because you're gay, so you find an Illyrian bat lady. Come on. Hey, man, there's some elements there. I could see Emery with Moore, and I could see Gwen with Asriel, and then you have your little inner court and Valkyrie combination. And then Elaine and Lucien fall in love. Yay! Or hear me out, a why choose?
Ooh.
A why choose between Asriel and Lucien, and like him being the night and like Lucien being the day, and like Elaine being like nature that needs both cycles, you know? Like, that would hit, bro. That would hit. Sarah, write it down. Write it down for me.
That would be so good. Where's the fan fiction?
Like, listen, something about that. Something about that would work for me. Any unanswered questions, though, from this text? I think we've been over a few so far, but...
I did notice something quite humorous.
Yeah.
So, their little death pact. Yeah. Feyre and... It made me immediately think of Credence.
No!
Why Credence?
Because the parents.
Oh my god.
I hate it here.
Okay.
Are you saying that they're actually the parents from that? And
no.
And Nyx is actually a female.
No.
So you're saying that Nyx is actually the girl from Credence and is gonna
hook up with Asriel, her not uncle.
No.
Like, oh,
don't talk to me. No. I'm saying, hey, remember this super uncomfortable book that we read?
Goofy.
They also had a fun.
I hate it here.
You're done. You're done.
Don't ask me for unanswered questions.
Oh my god. It would be interesting to see how their child reacts to that. I feel like if my parents had that, I would be like, bro, what the fuck? What about me? What if you both die and I'm like 10 years old? I gotta live this shit myself, dude? Like, that sucks.
Ooh, something else. I was surprised that whenever they agreed to let the bad people go into Velaris.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why don't you just murder them?
That would be wrong.
leave it to Purple to need that explained to them.
That would be...
That's a war crime.
That would be perhaps some type of out. Cleansing, some type of...
But hear me out, though.
Okay.
They're dicks.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
they were mean to Moore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Moore is a liar, says Jurian.
Well, Jurian can suck a big fat cock.
Maybe he will.
He should.
Give me some gay characters, Sarah.
Yes.
Lucien and Jurian.
Jurian for sure.
Jurian and that stupid human motherfucker that hates fairies. I want them to hate fuck each other.
Oh my god. Grayson of all people. He can die.
Yeah, Jurian and Grayson.
I thought Jurian was human.
Well, I don't know if the cauldron changed him when he got brought back. Because he was also kept alive for a long time. So I don't really
know. He was an eyeball.
He was an eyeball. Does it matter? Do you think those people will actually get along?
Well, if Grayson wants to hate fuck something, it would be a fey, right?
Well, but he came from the fey lands.
But he's not. If he's not fey, then it wouldn't be.
I just want them to hate fuck each other. Can't we just give you one thing?
Yes,
one thing.
We will get that eventually.
I can't have Lysandra. I can't have Taylor dead. We can't murder all the other people. Just give me hate fucking gay guys.
Maybe, but I don't know if Sarah's strong enough to write that. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to exist for us. I mean,
I need a new book.
It could be interesting.
Wait a minute. The there are angel people.
Uh-huh.
The Seraphim?
Are they a Asteri?
No, I think those are different from like people Hunt and everything, right?
Listen.
Isn't it based on the color of their wings and stuff like that?
There's too many
That sounds
things.
Like racial profiling.
It's too many things.
Well, I think a lot of the themes do relate to like, I mean, obviously there's high fey and low lesser fey and stuff. I think she's exploring those themes, right?
Yeah.
Very lightly.
Yeah.
Which, that's, yes.
I think it's all about, you know, fun places to have sex that is squishy.
Mm-hmm. And then murdering all of the people that are terrible.
and how long you can go without telling your wife slash mate that she's actually really bad at art.
Oh my god. Opens a whole gallery and you're just like, fuck, I'm in way too deep right now, dude.
I'm gonna teach other people to do this.
Oh my god.
We're gonna just destroy an entire generation of artists.
Oh my god.
But the high lady says that this is good. The high lady don't know shit.
Oh my god. Goofies. But yeah, I think the Asteria were different from the actual angels themselves. Like, when they talk about, like, this ancient race that, like, ruled over the Fae and were fucking evil, like, that's who I think the Asteria are. And I think there's something to be said about, like, angels, the Seraphim, and fucking Illyrians, even. Any winged people, I think that's an interesting kind of thing to explore, but I also think that's one of those probably, like, unanswered questions that maybe we'll get in later books, but I think there's something to be said about them being a different breed, I guess.
Do you think that it's possible the Illyrians are the same as the angel people? And the only thing that actually happened was they got, like, corrupted blood because of the Valk?
Or I think there was something to do with the mountain, right?
It could be.
They fucked him up.
Oh, my God. It could be a multitude of things.
Irma, what are you doing? I don't know. I'm just having fun.
Oh my god.
You're being so dirty.
Goofy. Uh-huh. Are you wow. both done? You're both
that
done.
Is bad.
You're both this done. Welcome terrible. To the last episode. Goofy.
You wish you could get rid of me.
But I don't know. It would be interesting to hear if there was some type of like connection. I mean, they're both winged people. I think there's something to be said about that. Like, can you imagine Hunt and, like, I don't know, Cassian or Asriel having a conversation or something, and they're just like, huh. Hmm.
Oh my god, Hunt and Cassian would be gym bros. They'd be, like, fantastic.
I feel like Bryce really? And Nesta would, like, hang out. But I think Feyre and Aelin maybe more yeah. so, but Bryce and Nesta for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking that it would be Bryce and Aelin.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are sitting here judging me for my bloodthirsty behavior when really I'm just out here channeling Aelin.
Do you ever think maybe channeling Aelin is not good?
Yeah. That's a war crime.
Yeah, it's almost like honestly, the conversation between her and Feyre, like if Feyre was like, this is everything that happened with Tamlin in the Spring Court, Aelin would be like, okay, so when did you kill him? And yeah. Feyre would be like, huh? And Aelin would be like, do you need me to do it? I don't understand. Like, I don't know. And honestly, to put her in Crescent City World and give Aelin a fucking gun, dude. Oh my god, it'd be. I cannot wait for that world. If that's a reality waiting for me, I need to get into Crescent City immediately.
Can you imagine Asriel and Dorian? I feel like we'd probably be friends.
Asriel and Dorian.
Would. They would mm-hmm. be broody together. Mm. They would talk Ooh. About grunge music.
Manon and Nesta would get along really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or they would tear each other to pieces.
I think that's part of the fun with them.
It's fine. They'll heal eventually.
And with Lane Lorcan, would just chill there.
I feel like Lorcan would also kind of gravitate towards them. And they would probably all watch. Who was his man?
Aelid?
Wow.
Aelid. Oh my god, I'm forgetting all their names.
I'm not cutting that. I'm not cutting that. How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
How dare you?
They're all just going to sit there and watch Aelid from across the room.
That's what I was Aelid and Elaine hanging out. Their names are too similar. They're just chilling.
Her leg never being fixed.
They're going to fix it. They're going to fix it, bro. I promise. One of these fucking days, dude. And in my head canon, Irene is going to travel with Aelin into all these universes. And I just want Aelin, or I want Emery's wings to be fixed by Irene. I want that to be a reality that exists in my brain so that she can learn to fly. Oh, my God. And she's just flying around being gay with more. Ugh. Sarah, please. Please. I don't ask for much, bro. Fix her fucking wings and fix Aelid's fucking foot.
I don't ask for much. Here's my list.
Yes. Make sure it's done. Post it.
I actually took the liberty of writing you some fan fiction that you can use. Take notes.
Mm-hmm.
I expect this back.
Literally.
And to be credited.
Do you guys have anything for characters most identified with? Or most wanted to lecture or kill or anything? I think we've kind of gone over predictions, so.
I just hate him so much.
I do want to lecture Tamlin.
Yeah. I just want to kick him off the side of a cliff.
But he would just shapeshift and be fine.
I miss Throne of Glass.
Yeah, where people were just getting killed when they acted wrong. And you're like, yeah, listen, fuck yeah, this is my world.
That's not what I was talking. You guys are mean.
When Maeve, that's not what I was bro, when Aelin threatened to burn all of Maeve's people, you were sitting there like, yeah, let's go. You are bloodthirsty. That's okay. That's okay. You want some anger. You want some people to get gone. I get it.
Just the bloodthirsty and the feminine rage. And I'm like, God, yes.
It's fine, but just wait for Tamlin.
I have to be
something.
Nice to people all day long. I just want to explode one time.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's what Cassian did. And then he destroyed that building in the summer court and can never go back.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, no.
Sorry.
You're wild. You're like, I'm not too bloodthirsty. And then you're like, can't Reese just kill a court of nightmares? Like, why are they really still around? Like,
they're not necessary.
They'll be fine.
They're a whole group of people. They're a whole court. You're like, kill them.
I can't wait for Silver Flames again.
Yeah, that's going to be very healing. But we do have to get through our Christmas episode of Frost and Starlight next and talk
are
about
we or just make me walk up a whole bunch of stairs. Why don't you?
Do you want to do Battle of the Bays?
For Frost of Starlight or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Frost of Starlight.
Yes, please.
We'll have like a SJM battle, like where all the babes will battle it out for who's the best bay of all of the bays.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
That's going to be a heated debate between all of us. I expect you all to come with receipts.
Really will.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I can write an essay.
Make me a PowerPoint.
Oh,
a spreadsheet.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Any form you like, but I want to hear a defense for your choice, no matter who it is.
We're going to do a tier list then.
Yeah, we could do a tier list.
All right. So we 101 on the, reasons why Patreon. Tamlin needs to die.
No. And it's all blank. And it's exactly. All fucking blank.
I'm really good at making those
here's my thing. Here's my thing. You can go against any character you want. You could say this character sucks. I want them to die. But that's fine because I know when Sarah switches some shit, I'm gonna be like purple, like I did with Lysandra. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's gonna be the same thing. And Lucien's gonna have some heroic moment. Exactly. And Caltaine. And I'm gonna sit there and I'm gonna be like, you kind of have to let Sarah cook a little bit. And you're like, no, like scorched earth, kill them. And then Tamlin's going to do some shit that saves a fucking day. And you're going to be like, fuck
he
it.
He saved Feyre already, and I don't care.
And Reese.
And Reese.
I don't care.
It gets softer every time. The next thing he does is like, oh, fucking. Stop, bro.
He's going to save Lysandra in a future one.
Oh, my God. That would piss you off, bro. I hope that that's real. I hope like she has this wonderful moment with him where she's like, you are like my bloodline continued. Incredible. I'm so proud of you.
No, she's just going to come bounding out of the forest in cat form and curl up to him and like wrap her tail around
him. I hate this so much.
I love this. I would love that world so much. It's not even funny. It's going to happen, buddy.
You're making me want to cry. It's so terrible.
Tamlin, for some political reason, has to go to the winter court. And she's there. And she
in the snow with the crunch.
In the snow with the crunch.
I'm out.
And not only is she like, oh my gosh, you're my long lost son. She also has a pack of cat shapeshifters with her, but they're like little children cat shapeshifters, so she has like a horde of little people that come yeah,
and she tells them, you look just like your father Aiden. You look just like Gabrielle and the lion look to them. And you know what Tamlin's gonna do? He's gonna start playing the fiddle.
Fuck all of you. Go to hell.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. It's the reality. You can get back at all of us right now, actually, because it is your turn for Bay of the Day, because we're not doing Battle of the Bays till next book. So
can Lysandra be Bay of the Day?
She's not in this book.
To be in this book.
Pick someone else. Right. Akawar, please.
All right. All right.
My only caveat.
Well, I mean, it only has everybody in it.
Right. True. You have a lot of choices.
I do. I want to say Braxis, but Braxis did not push along the plot the most.
Sure.
I think that it's...
Take your time.
It's... Fuck off. It's probably going to be the Surreal. Because again, if no Surreal, then no winning. And Talon dies like I want him to.
He was a dreamer.
He really was. Wow. The best of us.
R.I.P. Yeah. The Surreal.
I mean, I would die for a new coat, so I get it.
He said, I just love a little quick meal and a new coat. I love that for him. I love that for The Surreal.
I know, right?
Oh my goodness.
Filling the tea. Mm-hmm. Airwear.
Goofies. All right.
Surreal deserves it.
I agree. And we've got all those fun Surreal themed designs on the tea shop. Right.
They're so cute.
He'd be spilling the tea. Surreal Tico. But with that, before we get off to off topic here, we want to thank you guys for listening. This has been Smutty Scriptures reading Ack of War, rereading, really, going through all of the book. Next episode, we are going to dive into A Court of Frost and Starlight, our favorite little Christmas episode. So get excited for this Battle of the Bays happening, because that's going to be a little chaotic. I think we should do some polls on social media, too, to see if we, like, agree with like any of our followers. Ooh. And whatnot. Like if we can narrow down like 5 maybe, and then like make a poll or something, it'd be really interesting on like the Smutty Scriptures Goodreads or the Smutty Scriptures Instagram page. I think that'd be fun to put out. Maybe we'll do final results though on like the Smutty Scriptures Patreon, because we still have got that page going on. A lot of fun behind the scenes action and early access to episodes there. But of course you can get updates on the aforementioned Smutty Scriptures Instagram. We've also got a TikTok page, so we got a lot of fun coming. And as the summer is heading in, you know, expect a lot more content for the podcast. And yeah, we just want to thank you guys for listening. So with that, church is adjourned.
Fuck Tamlin.
Males. Nope, that's not part of the church.
You know what? That's my prayer.
No, we are forgiving his sins here eventually, Sarah.
Well listen, there was the one book we read where they fucked in church, so I feel like it's probably fine. Like,
wait, you can bring up priests, but I can't bring up...
We don't mention credence in this house.
Well, I'm not in your house.
You're... listen, you're done. You're done.